This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be.
The dead. It's me, Timothy Robert Buckner, and Quentin Moody, QT underscore Moody. I need to get better at introducing you if we're going to do this more regularly. And Quentin, you messaged me today. You said, hey, check out this match. I might want to talk about it later. I kind of got around to it on my lunch break because I didn't have anything better to do. So why don't you kind of lead us into it? What are we talking about here tonight?
Well, tonight we're going to be talking about Konosuke Takeshita versus Speedball Mike Bailey from DDT's July 2nd show. And this wasn't necessarily a big DDT show either. This wasn't in Korakuen. This wasn't one of their more specially named shows like Sweet Dreams or Into the Flight. It's just a random house show. And these two just happened to put on a match that I thought was very much worth talking about.
Yeah, I mean, there's no joke there when you say it's a smaller show. I jokingly said, I think, in our kind of group chat before, I said, oh, it looks like Speedball kicked one of the chairs that's in this office conference room that they happen to be showing or throwing this DDT show in, because it did look smaller. It did look like, yeah, like it'd be an office building or something that they were in. And it didn't have, yeah, a special name, but I think in some ways it's a big deal. I mean, the last big show, or I guess, I don't know how big you would consider it, but the King of DDT final, there was an angle setting up this match. These guys have been, you know, DDT tag champions together before, so there's some juice to this matchup. So, I mean, there's no reason to look at it as something to kind of gloss over. And for such a small show, I mean, that crowd was really lucky to get treated to, like, kind of an awesome match in DDT right now. Is it? I don't think it's their first time matchup, is it? Is it their first time in a singles match against each other?
I'm not sure, actually. You mentioned that they've been tag team partners, and I'm not sure exactly when they started feuding or facing off. Obviously, has something to do with when Speedball got one of the Right to Challenge gauntlets. But yeah, I'm not sure off the top of my head if they've had singles matches before. I know Speedball has had KOD open weight title matches before against Hirashima, but I'm not sure if he's faced
Takeshita. Yeah, they never had a singles match against each other before, which makes sense because, I mean, we'll talk about it when we get into the match, but Speedball really made his name in DDT in DNA, and by that time, Takeshita was pretty firmly a DDT main roster guy, so he wasn't coming down for anything, especially because they were trying to kind of build him up as a star, and I think the last thing you want is your top star guys showing up on the developmental show at that time, or a guy that you're trying to build into a star. You know, that's like a step back. It kind of actually makes me think of, and this is a random one to pull out of my hat, but it always stuck with me, when Dolph Ziggler went back down to NXT and had a match with Rusev when he was still wearing the sarong. It was at a time where Ziggler was, you know, he wasn't at his peak of hotness, but he definitely wasn't under. And I think sending a guy down to developmental at that time doesn't do him any favors when it comes to star aura for the main roster. So, yeah, this is the first time these guys have had a singles match, but they've definitely been, you know, interacted with each other as a team throughout. And then they lead up and decide to get into this match. Quentin, what was it about this match that got you so excited that you wanted to talk about it?
For me, I don't think it's been the best year in Japanese wrestling. That's not New Japan. It hasn't been that great of a year for Dragon Gate. I don't think it's like some people like Sam from We Don't Know Wrestling may disagree, but I haven't been super into Big Japan as a whole this year. DDT hasn't been hitting all the notes for me this year. All Japan, I think Kento Miyahara is actually better in the ring than he was last year, but as a whole, I'm not really feeling the 2017 Puro scene like I was
last
year.
Damn, don't even mention Noah. That's how far they've slipped off.
But with this match, I think this is like one of the few times this year where I left something that wasn't from New Japan this year and be like, man, that was really fucking awesome. I need to talk about this. And it hit like every single note that I've wanted it to hit. great limb work, great character stuff from Speedball that we're definitely going to talk about in a little bit. I love the fact that they made this small show at Shinjuku Face and made in front of maybe 150, 200 people feel like the biggest thing in the world. I feel like this was a match that would sell people on Takeshita if they weren't already sold that this guy is one of the absolute best wrestlers on the planet.
You know what's interesting is I have a... I wouldn't say like a the opposite opinion of the match, but I have a weird thing. Like, I think solidly, yes, this is a match that could help, like, if you weren't someone who was really into Takeshita. But I think it's actually more of a match that I don't think someone cold to Takeshita would be super impressed with, but I think that someone who maybe is questioning him as the top ace of the company would definitely be impressed with.
Yeah, that's definitely what I mean.
Yeah, because his work on Top Gear is fantastic, but I think if you don't... If you're not used to the idea that all Takeshita does is get his ass kicked for 20 minutes and then fires back and then wins, it wasn't, like, super impressive, but it was still very good.
Yeah, I think what makes this for Takeshita is the fact that he finally just, like, tired of Speedball shit. He's tired of the insincerity in the handshakes and the clapping. His facial expressions are top-notch. He's always weary of Speedball's faux friendliness. He's constantly on the leg and not letting up on Speedball. I feel like he really worked very impressive dominantly. And considering the fact that Takeshita, for most of his rise for the last few years, was playing the underdog, I think this was his most impressive performance working on top. And I think it's impressive because he was essentially the babyface, and he was more of a badass babyface just taking it to Speedball than he was playing like the sympathetic underdog that he has for years.
Right, and I think it's funny because this does in some way, obviously it was a lot quicker relationship as Speedball and Takeshita didn't tag for a long time, but it does mirror his bigger feud, the kind of looming rival that he has in Endo, in that there were former tag team partners that are now feuding for the title, and the same thing with Speedball. So I do think almost in some ways it was perfectly designed to help hype that match. What I do find odd, though, is that I didn't see any dissension in the tag team between Takeshita and Speedball. And as you talk about him kind of on his rise being seen as an underdog guy, it was interesting because he actually played more of the Ricky Morton to Speedball, it seemed to me. But you do have two guys who can really sell and gain sympathy great. But a lot of times in their tag team matches, I saw Speedball being the one taking the hot tag and kind of closing out a lot of the offense for his team, for the most part, you know, with Takeshita usually getting the wins, but usually Takeshita was taking the heat and doing most of the selling. So then seeing in this match where Speedball takes most of the heat and is, or I guess it's not even a heat, but where Speedball is on the back foot and fighting off most of it, and I say foot there kind of intentionally for the pun of the fact that his leg gets worked over the entire match, I definitely do think that Takeshita was impressive on top, showed a lot of fire, a lot of aggression. I just thought, I'm concerned that the Speedball being a cocky asshole who's like coming to him was really put on at the last minute just to help push the Endo narrative. Like I said, it's kind of intentionally mirroring his rivalry with Endo, so they take his ex-tag team partner and do that. Because I didn't see any dissension to build up, and I worry that this will be it, and Speedball will go right back to being the same character he was. Because then I see right after this, I watched him on the DNA show tagging with Cody Hall, and he essentially went right back to that formula, selling underneath. I guess you could say a little bit more heelish, but realistically he's going up against Diego, and is it Reka? I forget how you've ever say that guy's name. Like, they were playing not super obviously heel. The only thing that like kind of made it seem like you could say that they were heel at some points was just that Cody Hall is so big. So I worry that he's just going to go right back to the same character, and this is just like a brief interlude.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, and I think it is a bigger point that this was more of a bridge to get to Endo versus Takeshita, which is almost 99.9% happening at Peter Pan. That's assuming Takeshita wins his next title defense at Korakuen Hall before they go to Sumo Hall for Peter Pan. But I do want to get to what do you think of Speedball's character work here? Because when I first got introduced to Speedball, it was pure, clean cut, babyface here. A lot of comparisons to Daniel-san from Karate Kid. So he was like the ultimate underdog. I think I saw Rey Mysterio comparisons a lot at some points. So Mike Bailey was thought of as like this world-class underdog babyface. And I think in DDT, he's like, and especially in like the recent weeks, he found a really interesting character that I think plays into what I like in wrestling. And that's kind of like the insincerity that you can sense in baby faces.
Yeah, he's got, okay, so I made reference to it online that he's got the French-Canadian smugness that really helps him play a character like that. I mean, I hate to, you know, be like kind of stereotypical about a race of people or I guess an ethnicity, but I mean, there's just something about that kind of French, I guess it's ennui that they have, where they just can kind of come across super disingenuous at times. So to me, like, that works perfectly. Now, I've hearkened back to it multiple times, but I guess I've never talked about it on a podcast, so I'll just tell the story for anyone listening. But for me, when he won the Best of the Best, he beat Jonathan Gresham at the time in a really great match in CZW. He cuts a post-match promo where he's essentially shitting on the idea of the trophy and winning the tournament. But it's like, to me, it's like, was he supposed to be a babyface? Because he comes across like a completely unlikable heel. He's talking about, you know, oh, I get all this accolades and this praise from you people. I get these trophies. That's fine. But to me, this is just what I do every day. And like essentially saying, like, I am just the best of the best. So there's no point in anyone like making a big deal out of me winning this tournament. Like, the whole thing is just like, God, this guy is a natural fucking prick. But, you know, he looks like a little kid, he gets his ass kicked, and he sells really well, he has super cool high spots, so he's a natural babyface to a lot of people when they're booking him on the surface. But now, because he's getting a chance to flesh out more to his character in DDT, because it's really become a home promotion for him since he's been banned in America, which, in some ways, I mean, him getting banned in America was a blessing in disguise for him, because he has added a lot of depth to his game here. And he is now getting a chance on a higher stage to play a heel that I think could impress a lot of people to see just how good of a heel he is. Now, do you have any experience with him, with the little amount of heel stuff that he has done? Because for me, I saw very little of it. I'm just kind of aware that he has worked as a heel in Canada, but realistically, I've never seen long-term heel Mike Bailey.
No, neither have I. And that's what made this last few weeks very interesting when watching him, because like you said, like, on a surface level, when you're watching Mike Bailey, it's very easy to present him as this all-world babyface, but there is something there. There is something underneath the surface that you can play with when it comes to him. He does have like this smugness, this smarminess that's like, you almost like can't put your finger on it, because like the way he smiles, the way he can look at people sometimes is very off-putting. You're not exactly sure what to make of him. And I think DDT has played with that very well. Before we move on to Takeshita, Endo, and final thoughts on the match, do you think that getting banned from the U.S. has almost made Speedball... well, obviously, I think he's grown as a performer, but do you think he's going to become DDT's like next like big foreign star in the vein of... Kenny Omega, maybe not to that extent, because Kenny Omega, that was his home promotion, but someone like El Generico, who you can plug in, have him in KOD open weight title matches, maybe even win the title at some point, because you have enough trust in him. Do you see something like that in Speedball?
Yeah, actually, I think El Generico, especially with the kind of the way that he loses this match, is a kind of an apropos comparison with that, because El Generico, it was very clear that even with how good his matches were, and I think he even defended the PWG title in DDT, which is pretty cool of him. Even with the effort that he put into it and how much of a natural fit he was to DDT, just because of his character and his work style being just a great mixture, he also wasn't like Kenny Omega in that Japan was not his number one choice. And that was very clear.
Yeah.
So while I think that... Speedball has been doing great, and I think that he will continue to be a big star there for DDT, and he's obviously been embraced, and I think he's embraced the company as well. I don't see him having that level of commitment to want to live in Japan full time, to learn the language, to do all of that. So I think for him, yeah, like, El Generico level would be his peak. I don't think he could make it to the same level as Kenny Omega, but it's funny because I want to go on a brief tangent as you talk about them playing with, like, his kind of, I guess, subtle heelness, is that they have DDT seems to be the only company that's really working with some nice nuance with characters like that, is they actually seem to understand it, not just with Damnation being kind of, you know, cool heels, but another guy who kind of ticks that tweener mark in a weird way is Tenjiro Iriye, who's a guy who's got this natural babyface good look, or not good look, but you know what I mean. He's got this natural kind of babyface look that he comes across kind of,
Like he has an actual baby face. He looks like a giant baby.
Like, but they book him as this, like, hard-hitting ass-kicker badass. And now he's even, to me, I think, showing a tinge of heelness, or possible, like, he's going to snap off the edge from anger from losing all these matches. That it's like DDT is able to, like, actually have more nuanced characters. I think part of the problem, again, as I go back to Speedball, is that, and it might even be a problem for Iriye as well down the line, is that DDT, you have to be able to work comedy better. And I don't know that Speedball can work comedy in a way to become a big star in DDT. I hate to compare it this way, but in some ways, DDT feels like how Big Japan can feel when you compare the deathmatch to the strong division. Where, like, even the best strong guys, and even though they're protected and treated well, they're never going to be treated as big of a draw as the deathmatch guys. And DDT, it's like the super worker guys, like, Takeshita having the title right now, like, he feels like a big deal, but it also still feels like the comedy is the main part of the company. And the good workers are, like, the strong division of DDT, where it's just, like, an extra add-on, but it's not necessarily the main focus.
Right. And I think that's interesting because Takeshita, who can do comedy, I think the thing is that almost everyone in DDT can do comedy. You wouldn't be in DDT or be getting time on shows if you weren't at least decent with comedy. And that goes for everyone in Damnation. That goes for Takeshita. That goes for Iriye, Hirashima, Kudo, Yukio Sakaguchi. Everyone is at least good with comedy. But I think Takeshita is having one of the longer KOD title reigns in the last few years. So I think they're putting more of an emphasis on the fact that he really is like this in-ring, like, masterclass guy. Because I can't remember the last KOD title reign where it felt like this guy was like almost like a world beater in that sense. I can't remember the last time where it might have been like Hirashima, but yeah, I can't really remember the last time a guy just went out there in the ring and did his job the way Takeshita is.
Right, like, more about their work, it almost seems, in some ways.
Which is weird to say, because it's DDT, and DDT is always, like, known as the comedy promotion. But I think it gets drowned out how much they emphasize strong in-ring work, too. And they don't really put people in positions where they're not going to thrive. And Takeshita has been put in a position where he can be serious, go out there and have good, great matches, but can do a little twinge of comedy, but not, like, go too far out of his range, if that makes sense.
That completely makes sense. I mean, that's kind of, I guess, kind of my point is that he comes across a lot more as a worker, as a wrestler, and less of a DDT guy. So I don't know. I mean, the shows seem to be doing well. He seems to have some buzz around him, and his matches are great. And I guess we'll just see how they go. I mean, it's almost a natural lead, and how they go into this match with Endo, because it's being treated super serious. It's really kind of a blood feud, and the build has been, I mean, similar even to the main feud in New Japan right now, you know, for the title, the big thing.
It's been two years worth of build.
Yeah, but this has more build, and I think, I wouldn't say better matches, because Omega and Okada have been great, but I think in some ways you could argue that the Endo and Takeshita matches have been better, depending on what you're into.
As a feud is better.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like, it will be interesting to see how much, because a lot of people give Takagi a lot of credit for being such a great booker and so open and just like kind of genius with the stuff that he does. So it'd be interesting to see where they go from here. I mean, so I don't know. Do you want to like kind of get into what you see coming, where we're going from here on this feud between them?
I think it's going to be interesting because you would think that Damnation, since they won the title last year at Peter Pan, Takeshita was in the main event last year. He didn't win. Endo and Takeshita had their match 2 years ago at Peter Pan after Endo returned from injury. They have the tag team history. They have the history of as rivals since Endo joined Damnation. So I think it's going to be telling if Endo doesn't win. I think that means they're all in on Takeshita if Endo does not win at Peter Pan. And granted, this is DDT, and title changes, you have to take them with a grain of salt sometimes because they can change the title at the drop of a dime whenever they feel like it because of the right to challenge stuff, and they really don't care in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, they put the title on Ken Oka.
I do think it'll be interesting.
They put the title on Ken Oka yeah, just like, because he was a meme at the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think when you... if you just look at Damnation and how hot they were last year, and they've been kind of not phased out but de-emphasized, it'll be interesting to see if they go with Takeshita over Damnation, who is still really hugely popular.
Yeah, it's interesting with it being Endo because I mean now that they had the they already had one match and then they had the draw. It does feel similar to, I hate to keep making the comparison, but the Kenny Omega Okada stuff right now, where it doesn't feel, I mean, luckily for New Japan, they've got the out of the G1, so it's non-title, but, like, I don't see how Endo can lose this match and then be taken seriously as a contender going out of it, and then the other side of it, too, is who then is the next believable contender for Takeshita? It does kind of feel like Endo has to win this. But if he doesn't, then yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, okay, this is Takeshita's reign is a big deal. Maybe they can actually get serious here. And it'd be kind of impressive to see maybe, I don't know, disciplined booking from DDT in a way where they have a long title reign with Takeshita.
Yeah, and that's selfishly what I want, but I think it'd be a lot interesting from a commitment standpoint to have Takeshita not only win in Super Saitama Arena on DDT's biggest show ever on their 20th anniversary and the main event beating Hirashima, then also on Peter Pan, their big annual show, beating Tetsuya Endo, his generational rival. I think that would show how much they're all in on Konosuke Takeshita. And to wrap this up, I want to go back to Speedball versus Takeshita in their match. What would be your final thoughts and your final rating on that match?
Rating wise, I mean, I love the selling, I love the legwork. I liked the big moonsault from Speedball. I liked a lot of his offense. His kicks looked great. I think he could still be a spotty seller, but I think he got away with it here pretty well. I think that they never really got into any of the kind of crazy overdone stuff that Speedball can do sometimes, the overkill. So they like kept it within reason, had some really intense spots. They didn't dog it at all for being a small show, but I mean, that all said, I still probably have it like 3.75, like not quite 4-star. It didn't really hit that next level for me. A lot of it had to do with, I felt that with Speedball playing a slightly more heelish character, I would have liked to see a little bit more heel in his work, and I didn't really see it at all. He really essentially worked exactly the same, right, even as like a subtle heel here. But Takeshita did show me a lot here, and this was a really, like, probably a 4-star performance from Takeshita, but the match itself was just not quite there for me.
And I wound up going 4.5 on this match. I thought this was the best match that's happened in Japan this year that wasn't from New Japan. I would still say, for people who maybe haven't seen this, because this is a smaller show, definitely seek it out if you have the time. Don't be thrown off, even for the fact that it's a single cam show. It's very good quality, I would say, and better than almost any house show Nico Nico puts up. So if you're hesitant, maybe thinking that the video quality may not be up to your standards, it's definitely better than a lot of stuff that gets uploaded. So I would, from that standpoint, I would say give it a chance.
Yeah, and I agree with you that it's a definite must watch. And I think that for me, a 3.75 is still a very solidly good match and something that I really think that people should check out, and honestly can swing all the way to, you know, four and a half stars for some people, depending on their taste. So I would definitely say check it out. And yeah, the production is fantastic.
All right, that should wrap us up here. Tim, do you want to plug your Twitter before we sign off?
Right, that's all I ever do. Follow me on Twitter at Lucha Undead.
You can follow me on Twitter at QT_Moody. Thank you all for listening. Hope you're here next time. Because of all we've seen, because of all we've said, we are the dead. One thing kind of touched me today. I looked at you and counted all the times we had laid, pressing.